Live Reporters.
It's being called the jobs report without a silver lining. United States corporate media is unable to put any positive spin on the number of new jobs produced in November, coming in at a whopping 60% under the initial prediction. It's the lowest monthly addition of jobs since April, coincides with a tripling in long-term unemployment since only September, and makes clear that temporary unemployment caused by coronavirus lockdowns have repeatedly led to permanent job losses.
The jobs report may be the final nail in the coffin of a so-called snapback economic recovery, which was so widely touted by the mainstream media last spring. A social recovery for the long-term unemployed and their dependents may prove to be just as difficult to achieve.
As seen following the 2008 recession in the U.S., the social effects of long-term unemployment include mental health problems, increased drug and alcohol addiction, an erosion of employable skills, and lasting family dysfunction. With stocks just having their best November ever, it's now clear that the U.S. has had a K-shaped recovery, with the rich and poor classes headed in opposite directions.
It's in shambles right now. There's no question about that. We're in the worst crisis for U.S. capitalism since the Great Depression. And this crisis isn't getting better. I mean, bills are compounding. Rent is compounding. It's not like things are getting better. For people who haven't been able to work, you know, they still have to pay. These numbers are still piling up. Medical bills are piling up. Utility bills are piling up.
The second wave of coronavirus has hit lockdowns, and not more funding for healthcare is again America's solution. The new lockdowns are being called a gift to Amazon by small local business groups and will likely worsen the already bad unemployment situation, just as they did in spring. At the same time, pandemic stimulus unemployment benefits are scheduled to run out the day after Christmas for 15 million people. Data from MIT University estimated that the Paycheck Protection Program, from the first and only federal stimulus plan, spent nearly $250,000 to save each job. However, the maximum compensation to workers was capped at $100,000. The annual median personal income is just $33,000. It's caused many to wonder where the money for jobs really went. Rami Mazahari, Chicago.
Protests in Pakistan against the UAE was unthinkable until recently. However, now it is not so unusual after the UAE diplomatically recognized the apartheid regime of Israel. The public sentiments against several Arab rulers rose in Pakistan after the UAE and Bahrain started aligning their foreign policies with Israel and India. The normalization of Israel's ties with the UAE and Bahrain is now affecting Islamabad's long-standing relation with some Arab rulers, particularly of Saudi Arabia and UAE. Citing unspecified security threats and rise in coronavirus cases, the UAE now has banned visit and work visas to Pakistani citizens, along with 13 other Muslim nations, most of whom have been angry with Abu Dhabi after it normalized ties with Tel Aviv.
Countries like UAE receive such direct investment from investors from Israel and, for that matter, American Jewish community, then obviously the UAE government and the investors from Israel, or for that matter USA, would be cautious about how the local population, for that matter how the immigrants, might react and respond to direct presence of the Israeli, or for that matter American Jewish investors in countries like UAE.
Without revealing their names, Prime Minister Imran Khan in a recent interview dropped a hint that Saudi Arabia and the UAE have been pressurizing Islamabad to normalize its ties with Israel. Islamabad has vowed not to give diplomatic recognition to Israel. Over 5 million Pakistanis work in UAE and Saudi Arabia, the two biggest remittance-generating Arab states.
Pakistan's economy is dependent on these remittances. Saudi Arabia and UAE have the tools in their hands to put pressure on Pakistan to recognize Israel. Pakistan's nuclear power has always been a problem for Israel. So therefore, Israel would love that Pakistan should give recognition to it. That's why UAE, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, and other GCC countries want Pakistan to give recognition to Israel.
Political analysts say that Pakistan is running out of options, and in the current situation, it may inch closer to Turkey, Qatar, Iran, and more particularly to China to offset pressure from Saudi Arabia and UAE, which are strengthening their alliance with Israel, US, and India. Javed Rana, Islamabad.
Due to the coronavirus pandemic, the European Defence Agency annual conference has taken place online. The event, which has just concluded, normally attracts protests as it brings together arms dealers, policymakers and politicians, while civil society representatives are banned. The usual rhetoric was peddled out at this year's conference, however.
We have to look together into the rise of China and also these issues. Speaking of Russia, they have developed, and they are developing as we speak, super advanced missile systems.
Campaigners say the EU and NATO create security threats to feed the arms industry, which is active in every one of the EU's 27 nations and has an annual turnover of more than 100 billion euro. The ongoing process to create an EU army means that even more taxpayers' money is being spent at a time when COVID-19 is pushing millions of citizens into poverty.
For the first time, we invest 8 billion euros of EU budget money in cooperative defence R&D project.
Activists describe the EU's arms industry as immoral.
Exporting weapons to the Saudi-led coalition, which is waging war on Yemen. You have these huge amounts of money being made on the suffering of the Palestinian people.
Donald Trump's Make America Great Again slogan was mocked during the EU Defence Agency conference.
I very much hope that with Joe Biden, we will have a partner in making, we have already started saying, making multilateralism great again.
The anti-war movement is suggesting those who believe we will have a more just world under Joe Biden's presidency should examine the history books.
The Obama-Biden team ordered 10 times more airstrikes using drones than the previous U.S. administration under George W. Bush. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
The Islamic Republic of Iran currently has the highest blood donation rate in the Eastern Mediterranean region, and out of almost 10 million donation units in this region, over 2 million is by the Iranians. These days, a campaign is launched in Tehran to collect blood from athletes to encourage other people to donate their blood. The campaign is being promoted by Sports Society of Basij in collaboration with the country's blood transfusion organization.
We have organized this event to give the opportunity to athletes and other people to donate their blood to improve the level of blood banks in the country.
Famous sportsmen also took part to convince ordinary people to be part of the move as well.
I am here today to donate my blood because it's a must for everyone to help the patients. Our country needs our blood as the bank reservoirs are running low. I call on my fellow countrymen to come and help and save lives.
I want to be part of this campaign to do the least I can do for those who need blood. This can also improve the health in our country. As the body of athletes is strong, their blood is of a better quality. I ask all the athletes to show up and assist.
Studies showed that the plasma taken from the recovered people can be used in treating the coronavirus patients. While blood donation in many countries still depends on replacement or paid donors, Iran is the first country in the region that has enjoyed voluntary blood donation by 100% since 2007. Human Abedi, Tehran.
The humanitarian crisis in Yemen has been exacerbated by the incessant war and siege over the past 6 years. The executive director of the World Food Program, David Beasley, confirmed that the number of people facing the second highest level of food insecurity will increase from 3.6 million to 5 million in the first half of 2021.
There is indeed a humanitarian catastrophe, and if aid arrives, it goes to other places, and 70% of it goes to United Nations organizations to cover operational expenses. The other side must stop the blockade completely, because it affects Yemen in the medical, educational, and food sectors. So we think the focus should be on the root cause of the problem, which is the siege on Yemeni people.
Beasley called on the international community not to abandon the millions of families who are in severe need of aid. Millions of people are on the brink of a new famine as the UN's Yemen response faces historic shortfalls. $1.5 billion is what the donor governments contributed, while the UN says it needs $3.2 billion to avert the crisis.
Those who provide aid, such as the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, and America, have failed and did not abide by their pledges they made. They spent more than these sums to buy weapons, but they do not help Yemenis as they claim, which confirms the authenticity of the United Nations reports that famine is on the rise in Yemen.
The coronavirus pandemic, along with the funding crunch, has forced dozens of aid agencies and organizations working in Yemen to scale back their assistance. Some of them even had to give up their programs entirely, which has deteriorated the worst humanitarian crisis in the world, according to the UN. Famine can still be prevented if the international community wakes up to take serious action to save the lives of millions in Yemen, including women and the children. Abdul Latif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
The coordination Stop Global Security Law organized a new popular march for liberties and for justice all over France. The protesters want a total withdrawal of a law recently voted in the French Parliament that limits the possibility to film the police. They also denounce an authoritarian drift of the French government.
That authoritarian drift is evident. Look to the proposed laws. The existing legal framework in France is more than sufficient to control everything they want to. Why do they add new laws? It's only to limit more the freedom of expression and to sanction activists.
Trade unions say that the French government is taking advantage of the COVID-19 crisis to implement anti-social and austerity measures like the privatization of the health sector and the dismissal of workers.
They use the Terrorist Act and the health crisis as an alibi for restrictive measures. Since last week, the head of police has forbidden a demonstration in name of the COVID-19 crisis. This law has only one interest, to silence demonstrators.
Earlier this week, the Council of Ministers decided to close the main association against Islamophobia in France, the CCIF. French Interior Minister Darmanin qualified the CCIF as an enemy of the Republic and accused it of incitement to hatred and violence, discrimination, and of encouraging terrorism.
That's very surprising, because the CCIF has always profiled itself on the judicial scene and very little as political activists. The association limited itself to defend the legitimate rights of the Muslims. Now, in the context of an upsurge of terrorist attacks since 2015, the French government has entered in a phase of escalation of repressive measures that seriously limit the democratic liberties.
Amnesty International declared that dissolving the CCIF is a violation of freedom of association. As for now, the French government remains inflexible towards the social protest. But tensions are rising in high government circles about the way the security issue in France is handled. The protesters promise not to give up until an important part of the law is cancelled. Chris Den Hunt, Paris.
Due to the coronavirus pandemic, the European Defence Agency annual conference has taken place online. The event, which has just concluded, normally attracts protests as it brings together arms dealers, policymakers and politicians, while civil society representatives are banned. The usual rhetoric was peddled out at this year's conference, however.
We have to look together into the rise of China and also these issues. Speaking of Russia, they have developed, and they are developing as we speak, super advanced missile systems.
Campaigners say the EU and NATO create security threats to feed the arms industry, which is active in every one of the EU's 27 nations and has an annual turnover of more than 100 billion euro. The ongoing process to create an EU army means that even more taxpayers' money is being spent at a time when COVID-19 is pushing millions of citizens into poverty.
For the first time, we invest 8 billion euros of EU budget money in cooperative defense R&D project.
Activists describe the EU's arms industry as immoral.
Exporting weapons to the Saudi-led coalition, which is waging war in Yemen. You have these huge amounts of money being made on the suffering of the Palestinian people.
Donald Trump's Make America Great Again slogan was mocked during the EU Defense Agency conference.
I very much hope that with Joe Biden, we will have a partner in making, we have already started saying, making multilateralism great again.
The anti-war movement is suggesting those who believe we will have a more just world under Joe Biden's presidency should examine the history books.
The Obama-Biden team ordered 10 times more airstrikes using drones than the previous U.S. administration under George W. Bush. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Protests in Pakistan against the UAE was unthinkable until recently. However, now it is not so unusual after the UAE diplomatically recognized the apartheid regime of Israel. Republic sentiments against several Arab rulers rose in Pakistan after the UAE and Bahrain started aligning their foreign policies with Israel and India. The normalization of Israel's ties with the UAE and Bahrain is now affecting Islamabad's long-standing relation with some Arab rulers, particularly of Saudi Arabia and UAE. Citing unspecified security threats and rise in coronavirus cases, the UAE now has banned visit and work visas to Pakistani citizens, along with 13 other Muslim nations, most of whom have been angry with Abu Dhabi after it normalized ties with Tel Aviv.
Countries like UAE receive such direct investment from investors from Israel and, for that matter, American Jewish community, then obviously the UAE government and the investors from Israel, or for that matter USA, would be cautious about how the local population, for that matter how the immigrants, might react and respond to direct presence of the Israeli, or for that matter American Jewish investors in countries like UAE.
Without revealing their names, Prime Minister Imran Khan in a recent interview dropped a hint that Saudi Arabia and the UAE have been pressurizing Islamabad to normalize its ties with Israel. Islamabad has vowed not to give diplomatic recognition to Israel. Over 5 million Pakistanis work in UAE and Saudi Arabia, the two biggest remittance-generating Arab states.
Pakistan's economy is dependent on these remittances. Saudi Arabia and UAE have the tools in their hands to put pressure on Pakistan to recognize Israel. Pakistan's nuclear power has always been a problem for Israel. So therefore, Israel would love that Pakistan should give recognition to it. That's why UAE, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, and other GCC countries want Pakistan to give recognition to Israel.
Political analysts say that Pakistan is running out of options, and in the current situation, it may inch closer to Turkey, Qatar, Iran, and more particularly to China to offset pressure from Saudi Arabia and UAE, which are strengthening their alliance with Israel, US, and India. Javed Rana, Islamabad.
The administration of U.S. President Donald Trump has targeted more Chinese companies, accusing them of having ties with the country's military. China's top chip maker, SMIC, and oil giant, China National Offshore Oil Corporation, as well as two other firms, have been added to the so-called blacklist of the U.S. Defense Department. This comes amid escalating tensions between the world's two top economies on multiple fronts. China has slammed the move, saying it firmly opposes what it calls Washington's wanton oppression of Chinese companies. Beijing says the measure will severely harm America's interest and image. A Chinese foreign ministry spokeswoman also urged Washington to, quote, stop abusing its national power and national security concepts to surpass foreign companies. Over the past weeks, several Chinese companies have been blacklisted under an executive order signed by Trump. Washington and Beijing have been at loggerheads over a host of issues ranging from trade, technology, security, human rights to COVID-19. That all intensified when Trump took office in 2017 with his administration launching a trade war with China, leading to a tit-for-tat tariffs measures. Since then, key Chinese industries, including telecoms giants Huawei and ZTE, as well as several social media apps, have also been targeted under different pretexts. Washington has also used the issues of Hong Kong and Taiwan to put more pressure on China. Beijing has time and again accused Washington of seeking to destabilize mainland China by interfering in the affairs of Hong Kong and Taiwan, as well as fomenting tensions in the South China Sea. So why is the Trump administration keen on infuriating China? It seems the expanded blacklist is part of a bid to cement Trump's tough-on-China legacy before Democratic President-elect Joe Biden takes office on January the 20th.
I think this is definitely a part of a larger effort against China. The United States has to find another way of undermining China. Obviously, militarily, taking on China is a near impossible task. It would not be possible. The foot soldiers alone to occupy China just simply do not exist.
Relations between the world's two top economies have sunken to the lowest level since Trump's arrival in the White House. Just recently, even the Democrat-led House of Representatives passed a law to delist Chinese companies from stock exchange if they do not fully comply with the U.S. auditing rules, thus giving Trump one more tool to threaten Beijing before leaving office. But will Trump be able to inflict beyond repair damage to the Sino-U.S. relationship remains to be seen.
تمام ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان احترام می‌گذاره، همه این ارزش‌ها در علی ابن ابی طالب جمعه.
Human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
Imam Ali عليه الصلاة والسلام, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. The program's to my brother, and I'm your host, Mehdi. We're talking about the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Please stay with us. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith. Welcome to this segment of To My Brother, I'm Muhammad. And today, I'm going to read to you an aphorism of Imam Ali from Nahjul Balagha. Before that, let's go ahead and listen to the Arabic words, and after that, I'm going to read you the English translation. Stay with us.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام كل وعاء يضيق بما جعل فيه إلا وعاء العلم فإنه يتسع به.
Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam said, "Every container gets narrower according to what is placed in it, except knowledge, which expands instead."
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the program's To My Brother, and we were discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Dear friends, one of the great lessons that we learned from Imam Ali alayhi salam is this fact about having a hunger for knowledge. Now, it is unanimously believed and agreed upon by all scholars that Imam Ali alayhi salam was the wisest among the people of his time. All the people around him resorted to Imam Ali in order to learn from his rational and transmitted sciences, as well as the traditions and the manners of the Holy Prophet. There are many proofs testifying to what I am saying. So first of all, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib was extremely clever and intelligent, as far as we can see in all of the historical texts, and that he most especially had a hunger for knowledge. It is interesting because he was in the constant company of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household, from his practically infancy and childhood all the way up to the day when the Messenger of Allah departed from this world. And so this whole time, it was Imam Ali who benefited from this ocean of knowledge by the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And so, dear friends, here we realize that truly we must crave knowledge. We must have a hunger for knowledge. We must have a desire for knowledge. And of course, the knowledge of this world, the knowledge of the dunya, you know, whether it's the different physical sciences or chemical sciences or engineering sciences or biological sciences, these are all good and they are a form of knowledge and they should be studied. But first and foremost, we must remember that we must study the Islamic sciences, which benefit us both in this world and the next. A beautiful and profound lesson to have a hunger for knowledge, and most especially a hunger and desire for Islamic knowledge, brought to us all by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
تبقى عيني بدمع مشتاقيا قد لسعت حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبي ولها ولا راغي بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم إني أسألك الأمان يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم.
O Allah, I ask you for the protection of the day when property will not avail, nor sons except he who comes with a heart free from evil.
وأسألك الأمان يوم يعض الظالم على يدي يقول يا ليتني اتخذت مع الرسول سبيلا.
And I ask you for protection on the day when the unjust one will bite his hands, saying, Oh, would that I had taken away with the messenger. And I ask you for protection on the day when the guilty shall be recognized by their marks, so they shall be seized by the forelocks and the feet. And I ask you for protection on the day when a father shall not give any satisfaction for his son, nor shall the child give any satisfaction for his father. Surely the promise of Allah is true.
And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
And this last will of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyid Razi has included this in the section of Nahj al-Balagha dealing with the letters of Ali, because this was a written document. And this is letter number 47 of Nahj al-Balagha. And so this is Mustanat, as we call it. Authentic last will of Amir al-Mu'mineen, which he wanted it to be not only for his family, but for the entire Shia community, even for those who will come in the future. And then he starts saying things using the words Allah, Allah. You know, I remind you of Allah about this. I remind you of Allah about this. And so this is where he says, Wallah, Wallah fi bayti rabbikum. He says, I remind you to always be careful about the house of Allah, the Kaaba. La takhalluha ma baqitum. Do not ever leave it empty. فَإِنَّهُ إِن تُرِكَ لَمْ تُنَاظَرُ. If the Kaaba is left without any visitors, Allah will not hesitate and delay the Adhan. Wallah, Wallah fil jihad. Jihad is an important principle in Islam. Even though Bin Laden and company have misused it, it is a bad name. But it is part of the teachings of our religion. We cannot shy away from it. We can't ignore it. It is there, but we have to explain it in the right way. And this is what Ali is saying, I remind you about jihad. بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ وَأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Different kinds of jihad you have to do with your wealth, with your lives, and with your tongue. And you do all this, use it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَلَيْكُمْ بِالتَّوَاصُلْ وَالتَّبَازُلْ. And this is now he's coming back to family relationship. He says, I urge you to maintain the ties, سِلَةُ الرَّحَمْ وَالتَّبَازُلْ, and to be charitable to one another in the family. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالتَّبَادُرْ وَالتَّقَاتُ. And I warn you against moving away from one another and cutting ties from one another. And then he comes to a very important social principle for the Muslim Ummah. وَلَا تَتْرُكُ الْأَمْرِ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّحِيَ الْمُنْكَرِ. He says, do not ever abandon amr بالمعروف, promoting good in the society and preventing evil in the society. If you abandon amr بالمعروف وَالنَّحِيَ الْمُنْكَرِ, what will happen? فَيُوَلُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَشْرَارَكُمْ.
Listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
About you, IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The limelight. Not surprisingly, stress levels shot up during the pandemic, with reported anxiety scores nearly doubling because of COVID-19 and stay-at-home orders. In addition, 20% reported that their anxiety was severe enough to affect their daily routines. Researchers noted that the magnitude of increase in anxiety was significantly greater in people with obesity. According to a study, the COVID-19 pandemic has led to significant health effects well beyond the virus itself. The study authors stated that the fear of contracting the coronavirus has significantly impacted lifestyle behaviors alongside declines in mental health. The study also highlighted how certain unhealthy and healthy behaviors can go together. People who reported a shift towards unhealthy eating habits were also likely to report being more sedentary, less physically active, and having trouble falling asleep. By comparison, people with healthy eating habits reported an increase in their physical activity levels. We now present you an article written by Rachel Grumman-Bender. The piece is titled, Study Says Weight Gain Anxiety Levels Have Increased During the Coronavirus Pandemic. Please stay with us to hear more of Rachel Grumman-Bender's article. A new study shows that, not surprisingly, some people's healthy habits have fallen by the wayside during the coronavirus pandemic, leading to weight gain, whilst anxiety levels have nearly doubled. According to Yahoo Life, for the study, which was published in the journal Obesity, online surveys were distributed in April of 2020 to more than 7,700 normal weight, overweight, and obese adults across the globe, to glean information about how the pandemic affected their dietary habits, their physical activities, and mental health. The researchers found that healthy eating actually increased during the pandemic due to less eating out and increased cooking. But people also reported snacking more, as well as consuming more sweets and sugar-sweetened drinks. They also started moving their bodies less often during the pandemic. The amount of time people spent being physically active, as well as the intensity of their workouts, went down, while sedentary behaviors went up. More than 27% of the study's total participants reportedly gained weight during the pandemic. On the flip side, more than 17% of people reported losing weight. It's worth noting that participants who reported gaining weight made few changes to their eating habits, but had the largest declines in physical activity. By comparison, those who lost weight not only improved their healthy eating habits, but they were also more physically active and avoided slipping into more sedentary behaviors. Not surprisingly, stress levels shot up during the pandemic, with reported anxiety scores nearly doubling because of COVID-19 and stay-at-home orders. In addition, 20% reported that their anxiety was severe enough to affect their daily routines. The study authors also noted that the magnitude of increase in anxiety was significantly greater in people with obesity. According to the new study, the COVID-19 pandemic has led to significant health effects, well beyond the virus itself. The study authors stated that the fear of contracting the virus has significantly impacted lifestyle behaviors alongside declines in mental health. The study also highlighted how certain unhealthy and healthy behaviors can go together. People who reported a shift towards unhealthy eating habits were also likely to report being more sedentary, less physically active, and having trouble falling asleep. By comparison, people with healthy eating habits reported an increase in their physical activity levels every day. Jennifer Carter, a sports psychologist in the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Health at the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center, said, "The study finds mirror what I've heard from many psychotherapy clients. Somewhat better nutrition and somewhat worse exercise during the coronavirus pandemic." She did not participate in the new research. One of the study's authors, Emily Flanagan, a postdoctoral fellow at the Pennington Biomedical Research Center, said that one of the reasons physical activity went down for some is that many of the gymnasiums, health clubs, and other facilities where people usually exercise were closed, and exercise equipment was in short supply. Emily Flanagan added, "There were also drastic changes to people's work schedules, their children's school or daycare, which added hours to many parents' days. Factors in the increase in anxiety and getting less sleep, and it's not hard to see why people were less motivated to stick to their exercise routines. If you're tired and grouchy when you get up in the morning, you're probably not going to exercise as much. If you're sleep deprived, you're not going to make wise food choices." Dr. Asim Shah, professor of executive vice chair of psychiatry and behavioral science at Baylor College of Medicine, who was not associated with the new study, agrees, saying, "People staying at home, and especially for parents who now find themselves managing their kids' schooling, as well as their responsibilities, have increased." Dr. Asim Shah added, "It's stressful. You can't find spare time to do a lot of things. The schedule has become too congested and too busy. All of this creates anxiety, which Carter explains is challenging for most people to deal with." Carter said, "Sometimes we use ineffective coping strategies that initially bring temporary relief, but in the long term bring more distress." Adding, "Unbalanced nutrition and unbalanced exercise are two of these ineffective strategies." As far as why people who are obese are having a particularly hard time with anxiety during the coronavirus pandemic, Carter believes that that may be due to fear of the virus. She said, "People who are obese constantly hear about obesity as a risk factor for negative outcomes with COVID-19. She added, "People with obesity are likely very frightened. Unfortunately, we sometimes try to cope with such fear by eating comfort foods. Or we may be bombarded by fear and anxiety that we don't feel the mental energy to get up and exercise, especially when gymnasiums, swimming pools, and other facilities are closed." Emily Flanagan, a postdoctoral fellow at the Pennington Biomedical Research Center, agrees that fear is likely to be a factor, saying that the fact that people with obesity are at a much higher risk of severe illness and hospitalization undoubtedly contributed to the higher anxiety levels. Carter also points out that the lack of social support due to physical distancing is taking a toll on people's mental health. She said, "We're social beings, wired to seek connection, and isolation can feel devastating." Dr. Asim Shah backs this up, saying that people are getting lonely, He noted there's less physical contact during the coronavirus pandemic, such as hugs from close friends and family members, which affects both mental and physical health. Dr. Shah said touching releases the hormone called oxytocin, which helps relieve stress and improves immunity. He said that these pandemic-related mental health effects will be long-lasting. He added, "This is an ongoing disaster that's lasted nearly a year. You can imagine that the mental health impact will be felt for over a decade. With winter ahead, which spells colder weather and less daylight hours that make it more challenging to spend time outdoors, as well as looming lockdowns in some areas across the United States, some experts are concerned that this will only serve to further worsen people's mental and physical health. Emily Flanagan says, "We're worried about this. The holidays are going to be hard. We know that extended periods of isolation aren't good for people's mental health. We're recommending that physicians increase the number of mental health screenings during and after the pandemic." Emily Flanagan also recommends that doctors remain connected to their patients through virtual visits, which can help assuage patients' concerns about the safety of in-person visits. Both of these steps can help prevent irreversible health effects from the pandemic. To help people maintain healthy habits while stuck indoors, either because of cold weather or stay-at-home orders, Emily Flanagan notes that, as many people have discovered during the pandemic, there are any number of online videos that show you how to exercise without equipment and learn to cook healthy meals. For mental health, Emily Flanagan points out that the use of telehealth consultations has drastically increased throughout the coronavirus pandemic, allowing people to conveniently access help at home. Telehealth sessions with your healthcare provider are also a strategy to treat and manage mental health with less time commitment, that is, no travel, and limit virus exposure. Dr. Shah recommends spending time with close friends and family members outdoors whilst physically distancing and wearing face masks. But if you're not able to safely see loved ones in person, he says the video calls are better than nothing, adding, "People need to socialize." While Carter acknowledges there are challenges ahead, she says that there is also hope related to vaccines, better treatment, and the start of a new year. She adds, "We are paying too much attention to what could go wrong without also asking what could go right."
چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا، ذکر الله تطمئن می‌کند.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha
This is part of a speech of Imam Khomeini, the founder of Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with clergy and the students of the seminary. Allah sent the prophets and awliya, the friends of Allah, saints, holy men, to guide people and to help them to reform themselves so that they do not fall into the severe chastisement of hell. If these preventatives do not cause the awareness and refinement of men, God the Merciful will make him aware through other means by various difficulties, afflictions, poverty, and illness. Like an expert physician or a skilled and kind nurse, he tries to cure a sick man from dangerous spiritual illnesses. If a servant is blessed by God, he will be faced with afflictions until he turns his attention to God, the Almighty, and is refined. This is the way, and other than this, there is no way, but man must tread this path with his own feet until he reaches its conclusion. If he does not reach any conclusion in this way, and the misled man is not cured, and he does not deserve the blessings of heaven, when his soul is drawn from him, there will be much pressure on him. So perhaps he will return and be aware.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today we are with another saying of Imam Khomeini, may Allah grant him with peace. He said that which pulls men out of wavering is remembrance of God. Now this is very important to understand that when a personality like Imam Khomeini, who was a mystic and a big scholar, after having read the Quran and the narrations of Ahlul Bayt and the Prophet ﷺ, he is saying, he is concluding that which pulls men out of wavering is remembrance of God. Definitely for him, we can see in his life, there were many times where he could have the wavering in his life. But with his experiences, according to the teachings of the Quran and teachings of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, he says that remember that which pulls men out of wavering is the remembrance of God. Ala bidhikrillah tatma'innul qulub. Let it be known that with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the heart feels peace.
Ya hayyu ya qayyum. Ya hayyu ya qayyum.
It is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that gives you peace. It is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembrance of God, that takes you out of the wavering. If you want peace in your life, if you want to have a peace in your heart, the inner peace, if you want to get that, you must remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have a lot of examples in the Quran. We can see, for example, Hazrat Yunus, Hazrat Ayyub, Hazrat Yusuf, these are all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet Abraham, the Prophet Ismail, the Prophet Ishaq, all of them, they all had peace. Why? Because they were all in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were always remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet Musa alayhi salam, the Prophet Isa alayhi salam, they were all in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even we see the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who is the mercy for all the worlds, the mercy of the world, also spent his life in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.